Let's return to Consult Us on Business on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Frank Bisconti.
Welcome back to the show. This is segment four, and as promised, we are going to ask the question that everyone has been asking. Why in the world do I need to have an exit strategy if I am just starting a business? Well, here we go. Entrepreneurs tend to focus solely on starting their businesses by finding the product or service that they will sell, putting together a business and marketing plan, I can only hope, hiring people, identifying customers, and so on. But one element that is rarely considered when starting a business is how and when you will actually exit the business. Planning on how you will end your relationship with your business is called an exit strategy. Without considering a legacy transaction or an IPO, there are four very basic kinds of exit strategies. If you're going to pull the trigger and start a business, you need to discuss these four possible exit strategies with your spouse and your business partners, but especially your business partners. You may find that partners have very different approaches on how to run and exit a business. So to avoid confusion, arguments, lawsuits, discuss, plan, and document your exit strategy in advance. So let me give you the four different types of exit strategies. I'm sure there are many more, but there are four very, very basic ones. The first one is called a lifestyle company, and it implies a bleed it dry type of philosophy. And what this means is a lifestyle company strategy works best if you don't have passive investors. That means, for example, if you're the only investor in the company or a single owned business and you haven't taken investment money from other people, you may want to consider this. This particular strategy involves pulling out as much money as possible from your company with little or no consideration for its future. Now you say that, you know, that may sound ridiculous, but it really isn't. This approach does not suggest running your company into the red or running it into the ground or even running it at a loss to accommodate your goals. The strategy involves paying yourself the largest possible salary, a year-end bonus regardless of the company's annual performance, having the company pay for your car, purchasing insurance policies with company money, hiring family members, paying yourself very high interest rates for money that you might loan to the company, etc., etc. Although this practice would not be acceptable in a public company, it's actually common practice in many private ones, especially smaller single-owner companies. This strategy also does not necessarily involve growing the business larger and larger. And I know you've got to be listening to me going, well, if there was an opportunity to grow my business larger and larger, why wouldn't I do that? Once you hit a targeted revenue and a profit level, you keep the company at that size because you are withdrawing enough money each year to accommodate your chosen lifestyle. One time I was speaking to a group of entrepreneurs, and they actually asked me that question. We don't understand why, if you had the opportunity to continue to build your business and grow it bigger and bigger and have it be more and more profitable, that you wouldn't do that. And my response was a very simple, single-sentence answer. And I looked at the person answering the question, and I said, excuse me, what part of a 30-hour work week and income of $5 million of personal income don't you understand? So for some people, if they're able to get their business at a certain level, and let's say they're pulling $2 or $3 million a year out every single year, and they're able to manage a dozen people, and they're working 30 hours a week, and they are perfectly content doing this, they have no real interest in continuing to grow their business where they have to manage 25 people or 50 people or 100 people or $100 million coming and going or larger facilities or more inventory. They just don't want to do it because they know it will take more time. And they're very happy with making their $3 million a year and going on their merry way. Exit strategy number two is liquidation. Liquidation is the simplest of all exit strategies. You simply decide that when you have had enough, you call it quits and you close the business. Now, there's some pros and cons to doing this. Number one, one of the pros is it's very easy to do it. If you run your business for 10 years, you made a lot of money, you're financially secure, and you don't want to run your business anymore, you simply close it. You fire all the employees and say, I'm done. You walk away. There is no need to spend any time looking for a buyer, and consequently, there's also no need to have to negotiate for the sale of your business because you're just closing it. And there certainly is no issue about any type of transfer of control. Now, some of the cons of just liquidating your business is that you're going to be leaving a lot of money on the table by not selling your business to some interested buyer. I mean, you can walk away from a great deal of money simply for the sake of convenience. Another con is if you do have other shareholders, but you happen to be the majority shareholder, they're going to be a little bit upset with this particular tactic. And the third con is that your company's assets have value. For example, your customer list, your business name, your goodwill, you might have equipment, you might have inventory, you might have business relationships. All of these things can be sold independently, even if you don't want to sell the business as a whole. You can sell different assets of your business to different interested buyers. So, but it's completely your call. If that's how you want to close your business and just shut it down, just know you're going to be leaving a lot of money on the table. Exit strategy number three is to sell the business to a family, a friend, or a friendly buyer. I mean, this is a pretty simple tactic. A lot of times family members are involved. Sometimes your sons or your daughters might be involved in your business. And after you run it for 10 or 20 years, and you get a little bit older and you're ready for retirement, you may want to have the option of simply selling that business to your children and letting them continue to run it as a legacy company. That's great. Again, as with any type of exit strategy, there are some pros and cons to doing this. One of the pros is if your management or any of your employees, for example, want to buy the business, they have a vested interest in making it work. There's also a lot less due diligence involved if you know the buyer. If you want to sell your business, you want to make sure, especially if you're going to offer the buyer terms, meaning he can pay for the business over time, there's going to be a lot less due diligence involved if you're selling it to your children. Especially if the buyer also has an emotional attachment to the business in some way, he or she will be more likely to maintain the company's integrity in the marketplace and continue the legacy of that company. However, as you can probably imagine, there are some cons to selling a business to a family, a friend, or a friendly buyer. Selling to a family member can lead to fighting and arguments about how to manage the business going forward. Selling to a family member or a close friend may have you accept a lower purchase price simply because you like them or you're related to them. And if the form of a sale happens to be a stock sale versus an asset sale, the new owner may find himself with unexpected liabilities that you created but did not necessarily disclose at the time you made the sale. The fourth exit strategy is acquisition. And it almost sounds, I don't know what the word is. I'm blanking out of the word right now. It's not that you're making an acquisition, but you're positioning your company to be an acquisition for another larger company. So unlike selling your business to a family member or friend in an acquisition, you sell your company to another company. Here, there's one huge, huge advantage. If you've run a successful business, you get to determine what the selling price is. There's a thing out there called the public markets, and there's, a dozen different ways that outsiders can come in and value what your business is worth. And you can have that done as a guide. But the reality is, your business is worth whatever you say it's worth. And if you have an opportunity to sell your business to a mega company like a General Electric or a General Motors, these are mega companies that buy 100 companies a year trying to create more profit for themselves. If you understand why a large company wants to buy your particular business, if your business is worth $2 million on paper, there may be a reason why a General Electric may want to pay you $5 million for that very same business. Once again, there are some pros and cons, and we're going to get through these things very quickly. Number one, you get to determine the value of your company, not the public markets. And you get multiple companies to have an interest in buying your company. You can create a bidding war. So those are two great pros. Some of the cons are if you manipulate your company's operation to fit with a specific acquirer, you may limit the number of potential buyers. If you have a genuine interest in your employees, combining cultures can often be difficult, leading to the termination of employees from the company being acquired. And the terms of an acquisition may constrain your personal lifestyle with non-compete and non-disclosure agreements. So to wrap things up, to all of you considering taking the big step and becoming an entrepreneur, remember the words of Gordon Gekko: greed is good. It is what motivates Americans and especially entrepreneurs. Do not be afraid to be successful and to become rich. Do not be afraid to try. It is the American way. Be honest with your customers, be fair, work hard, and succeed. Well, I guess it's time to wrap up show number 10. Happy 10th anniversary to me. I want to thank Dave Olson, of course, for the great job he does every single week producing the show. Tune in next week when I will be profiling a doctor who broke away from the pack, started his own business 25 years ago in order to solve a major medical problem that existed in the marketplace. Also next week, I will talk about money management and how to keep your business profitable. This is Frank Bisconti, Consultus on Business, and this is TalkZone.com.